How many of you know it's the season declaration? All right. It's a season of declaration. So when we sing songs like that, it's a declaration. That song was written a year ago, but only now is it ready to be released. Some things have to stay in the greenhouse until they're ready. How many of you understand that principle? Some of you are in the greenhouse, you're ready to come out. You feel like you've been there a long time. And guess what? You have. And now it's time to come out. It's amazing. Let me backtrack. Don't let your ship go down. Don't let your ship go down. I'm seeing too many sabotages. Too many Christians sabotage their ministries, their lives, their families, their finances. Christians every day can be found sabotaging their Christian life. The marriage has gone to pot. The finance has gone to pot. You know, it's not. It's like every day you read of a ministry going down the pot or down the pan, the hole, whatever terminology you want to use. Don't let it happen to you or to me. Hello? Hello? Don't let it happen to you. So you've got to listen to what God is saying to us. Don't let things slide in the wrong direction. This is a time where people are being challenged in every aspect of their life, their finances, bills, everything, and the temptation to compromise. Compromise in so many ways. Well, I won't give God my tithe, or I won't worship God as much, or I won't do this. Temptation comes in so many varieties. The enemy knows your weakness. Don't be tempted to go backwards. As Andy's just received the hills that are alive, you find your hills. God's singing a song for you. I know my song right now. Oh, it's been spelled out very, very clearly. And, you know, you've got to hear what God's saying to you. So I think it's an amazing thing to comprehend that the God of the universe lives inside me. I just think that's an amazing thing. It's a reality. But for some people, they don't understand that God actually lives inside of you. He lives inside flesh and blood. Why would God want to make his home inside of you and I? Because he loves us. And not only because he loves us, it's the way he can touch the world. God has to touch the world through you. He did it in his son. Jesus came in flesh and blood. Now he's doing it through flesh and blood. Amen? He still continued what he started. And it's astonishing as it may sound, God living in you is not enough. Why is it not enough? I'm glad you asked. God living inside of you is not half as powerful as a God who lives inside of you and he can move through you. If God can't move through you, him living inside of you, he's contained. It's contained. Now, God isn't contained in his totality, in his immutability, right? God isn't contained in his immutability or his omnipotence. God is God. But inside you, the flesh and blood, you contain him because you've got the free will. God and you have to partner together. I can't force Carol to love me. I didn't drag Carol to the altar. She came willingly. And I came willingly. And that covenant was established between two willing people. And if there's any love going to continue in our marriage, it has to be consensual. It has to be determined. It has to be, our wills have to be used so that the relationship can go deeper. Carol, sometimes you will see Carol come through me. And other times I will come through Carol. Why? Because the closer you are together, you begin to portray one another. It's just a fact of life. Even though you are an individual, your partner's influence influences you. Is that not true? So God, as we've already heard this morning, God must build the vessel. If our ship is going to stay on the waters of shifting, changing waters, we have to have Christians whose lives can stay upright. Oh, Lord, do we need upright Christians? Not Christians who are full of sin and defeat and negativity, But God needs people he can put in the troubled waters of life who can stay upright. That sounds easier than it is, but nevertheless has got to be the challenge. Amen? Amen? And so God wants to move through us. Now, imagine a bottle of water. Imagine this bottle. Where's my bottle? There you go. Imagine this. Beautiful content. It's got juice inside this bottle. Let's just say that that's God inside you. You're the vessel. The content is the juice. And it's inside of you. But what's restricting this? There are people out there who need a drink of what's inside this bottle. Right? It can quench the thirst of people. But yet, the lid is stopping it. The lid is stopping it. You're the lid. The way you think. Your lid, you know, have you ever heard in management the law of the lid? No? Okay, I'm not talking to you. They did an experiment many, many years ago that they put fleas in a jar and they put a lid on it and the fleas kept jumping, and when it kept banging its head on the top, it stopped jumping. They took the top off, but the fleas were so conditioned they didn't realise they were free. But because the lid had been on them so long, they only went to a certain level. That's like you and I. Sometimes we've lived with containment so long in our life that we don't realize that Christ has set us free. But you see, that lid there, watch this, it needs an external power to come and put pressure on it. Pressure. Because when that bottle is first filled up in the manufacturers, it's on tight. Right? And it's tight, and then it needs an external pressure to come, watch, and put its hand round and pressure and twist. And twist and unscrew so that the contents can be poured out and can be shared and tasted with others. Now let me say to you, why don't you embrace trouble? Trouble is the pressure you need so God can get his hands on you to unscrew the lid that's been containing you. Oh, you don't like that idea, do you? No, but it's true. Trouble is effective in the hands of God. Trouble is destructive in the hands of Satan. Let me say that again. Your trouble in the hands of Satan is destructive. Your trouble in the hands of God is productive. Amen. Yeah. God will see your trouble, and as you call out to God, God begins to draw near to you. And God begins to put his pressure. He uses the pressure of the trouble, the environment where the trouble's coming from, as pressure. And the more you call out to God and trust him, he comes and unscrews. And lets that what's inside of you come out. Oh. It's true. Oh, it's true. So, when God removes the containment, Jesus said to the woman, "Give me a drink." But she couldn't give him a drink because she was contained. She'd had relationships that only brought her trouble, pain, and hurt. And indeed, in fact, the man she was with was not a husband. She was looking for something, and Jesus didn't need the drink. She thought because he didn't have a bucket, he couldn't get a drink. But the water he was talking about was internal. She had the technology to draw water, but needed a drink. So the one who had the water, the living water, was internal. Everything you need is internal. God is the primary source. Now we need external needs. We have external needs. But Christ is the internal source, is the power. So Christ is the one from the inside unscrews the top. Unscrews the top of your thinking, your heart. Do you see this? Boy, the content's good. Boy, the content's good. When people see, taste and see, the Lord is good. People have to taste in order to see. But in order to taste, we need to be unscrewed. We need pressure. Pressure does not take this top off when it's brand new. Sorry, without pressure, it would not unscrew. We need pressure. There's many things inside you that need some pressure to get out. Amen. And I know some of you don't want that and don't like that. And who volunteers for that? No one volunteers for pain. But I don't know about you, but trouble has a way of finding you. It knows you where you live. True? Trouble is an opportunity for God to unscrew what's been held tight in your life. No trouble has to be self-defeating, self-destructive. It can be productive. It's put into the hands of God. So, let me go from... Remember last week I shown you this? That's your life. That's you think that's your life. Beautiful. Here I am, blue skies. This is my Christian life. I should just sail on open waters. I can praise and worship God when the wind in my face, a bit like the Titanic. But that's not the Titanic, obviously not. And you think, that's where I can cruise, that's where I can do life. And then all of a sudden your life goes from that to that. Somehow, how did you go from that to that? Is it fair to say that they've hit trouble?
Yes.
Trouble has hit them. And it's hit them bad. And that looks like there's been a storm there before. And that's the picture, that's the day afterwards. And you think, how does that get on its side like that? Well, that didn't get on the side in that weather. That probably went capsized in a very, very treacherous situation. But that's a picture of so many Christians' lives. They're on the side, they've gone from that, and they're shocked. They don't know how they've gone from that. Yesterday, I was cruising in life. I was cruising. I was drinking champagne and pina coladas, and eating olives and what's that other stuff? I forget it. Avocados, that stuff. Avocados, and then all of a sudden, my life's in a mess. I'm sinking. Will my life ever get upright again? Where is God? And God says, "I've got you in the perfect place. I didn't create you trouble, but I certainly can use it and I can certainly get you out of it." And most Christians have no idea how they go from the ocean liner on their side. But the evidence is all around. You see, we don't know the stages that went through. We don't know how long it was on its side before it finally tipped over on its side. We don't know what tragedies were on that. We don't know how many men were lost on that. That's just a picture. But we get an idea. It's not a good place. It's not a good place to end up. I don't know about you, but there's times when I felt like that. Am I the only one? Or maybe, anybody know who this guy is? You'll know him in a minute when I tell you his name. He's called Captain Francesco Schettino, I should say. And he was accused of manslaughter for abandoning his ship. And what was it called? The Costa Concordia in 2015. The man abandoned his ship. Now, before you judge him, how many of you have done the same thing as him? Now, if this thing... I remember one day God... And only God can answer some questions. So if you don't like the answer, he didn't speak it to you, he spoke it to me, okay? Can I make that clear? Make a disclaimer. I remember one day God said to me, if the building is on fire, you might not like the answer here, but this is what God said to me many, many years ago. And he was teaching me a principle. If the building's on fire, who are you saving first? Notice he didn't say what you're saving. Don't run upstairs and try and get your books or your bag. They always tell you when there's a fire, leave your goods along and walk out calmly. Not on your life, my car's outside, I didn't need my key. I'm going to get far away from a burning building. I need to do it in the car. And he asked me, what would you do? Who would you save? And I said, well, obviously, I take it my wife is outside. My wife and children are outside. Scott was still young then. Yes, the family's outside. And instantly, inside my spirit, I said, I would save the leaders. And the Lord says to me, Good choice, son. Now, somebody say, well, God loves us all. He weren't asking you. He was asking me at that moment in time. He was setting me a context. Build with leaders. Leaders, you can always start again with leaders. Raise leaders. Okay, that was 15 years ago the Lord spoke that to me. So if that offends you, that's a 15 years old. But guess what? I'm still standing on that principle. Now, if there's a fire in the building, there's exits. We can all get out safe. Yes? But at that time, this guy jumped ship. And if this place is on fire, I've got to be the last one out. Where's the shepherd? He got killed in the fire. No. I got to get everybody out. But that's the law. But when God said to me that time, who are you going to save? I said, the leaders. Why? Because that's who had invested in the most. I'd put me investment into the leaders at that time. So, he jumps off his ship in the Tuscan Islands. But you know, how often do we abandon let's make it real simple. How often do you abandon your word? How often do you abandon your word? I'll do this, and then all of a sudden, I backtracked on it. How often do you abandon your vows to God? How often do you abandon your love to your wife? How often do you abandon kindness to your neighbours? How often do you abandon things that you once deemed precious to you, you've now negotiated and compromised? How often do you abandon your love for the people in the church, coming to church? So often we abandon these things and we jump ship. Is that not true? It's true. Oh yeah. See, maybe that's what you do. See that? His boat's sinking. See, he's got his bag. He went back for his bag. He's thinking, I'm going to jump in this fella's bag. Boat, so I should say. And he's abandoning his ship. Now you say, well, that thing's sinking. Yeah, but we don't know why it's sinking. But somebody else made room in theirs so he could jump in. Or maybe the other guy's thinking, I've got no room. But the guy's thinking, I'm coming in anyway. We don't know. But all I know is he's abandoning a ship and he's jumping in, or he's abandoning his boat and he's jumping into another vessel. Now, it's okay. If you're meant to be light, salt and light, people all around us will jump into your boat. If you are salt and light. But if your boat is sinking and someone tries to jump into your boat, there's a good chance the pair of you will go down. True? You've got to stay afloat so that others can jump into your boat. See, when you only think of you, you're in a dinghy. It's just you. But you're not. You're in a ship. You're part of a crew. You're in a body. But you function on your own. But the moment you think that you're only in a dinghy, then there's only you rowing. But when people pray for you, that's proof that other people are rowing. And you don't know who's praying for you, but be rest assured, this man's praying for you. So sometimes if you feel a bit slow and all of a sudden you feel like, whoa, I feel my life's just moved forward. Remember, someone's praying for you because you're not on your own. But sometimes when you jump the ship, you're not jumping your ship, you're jumping this ship. You're jumping the faith ship. Amen? We can't have days like that. We can't have long periods like that because that thing is just, that's fictitious. That's a week's holiday. And then you're back into reality. So that's nice when you can enjoy it. Yeah? And you see, some people treat church like that. It's where they get served. From the moment they get on board. Yes, come in, let's show you to your chair. Would you like tea or coffee, sir? There's a lounge upstairs for people like you. Yes, and we'll pamper you and tell you we love you. Oh, I'm on this cruise ship. How many of you know that's not servanthood? That's consumerism. Amen? But you see, you want to be on the love boat. But this guy, I'm sure he was a fine captain. Something that day made him jump ship. And now he's serving time. So, let's go to 2 Corinthians 7:5. For when we came into Macedonia, 2 Corinthians 7:5, for when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. And this is what you look like when you have conflicts on the outside and fears within. Everything inside of you starts to wobble and shake. See this? Now what he's done here, again, it's just a picture, but let's think about this. What this picture tells me is he has disobeyed protocol. He's defied and ignored the rules of too high, too much, too fast. He's ignored all the protocols and wonders why he's losing cargo. This is why many end up sabotaging their faith, because they ignore the principles and protocol of Scripture. You want to go too high too quick. You want to become successful and wide too fast. What did we hear this morning? Unless God makes the man or the woman, there is not a vessel that's going to stay upright. Now, this is what God wants you to have. God wants to put all those things inside of you and that thing sail. Every one of those crates are strategically aligned up. There's width, there's height, there's depth, and that thing is sailing in peaceful waters. Amen? There's no limit to what God has put inside of you. And you're just trying to discover what God has put inside you. But let me tell you, those are much more God's put in there. But you've got the nine fruits, you've got the nine gifts of the Spirit. You've got your talents. You've got knowledge. You've got wisdom. You've got loads. And every one of those containers, if you open it, it's got something of God inside. And that's the picture of your life. Your picture's not that. That's your life. Because you've got a man that needs managing. That's real. And so's that. Now the difference between that and that is he's obeyed the rules. He's obeyed principles. He's got protocols, principles of maritime in his mind. He's a smart captain. True? Where this guy ignored. He ended up running aground. That guy wasn't smart. Maybe that's the captain. We don't know what that story is, but that is the real picture of our lives. God wants to put weight, pressure, depth, height, strength, substance inside you and I. But we cannot ignore the principles. We cannot and must not ignore the principles, or our ship will capsize. Amen? Do you understand this, church? So here we see in Corinthians, he said, when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours. Everyone said, this body of mine. You, how many of you know, you live in a body. You live in a body. You have a spirit inside your body. And you also live in a flesh and skeleton, structured piece of flesh and blood called a human body. Amen? And he says, this body of ours had no rest. And we were harassed at every turn. And conflicts were on the outside. And he had fears within. You know, that is a serious situation when there's conflicts on the outside and there's fear within. Conflicts on the outside and fear within. And I would suggest that it was the conflicts on the outside that brought the fear within. True? The conflicts on the outside brought the fear within. And if we are going to make sure that we have lives that don't get capsized, we've got to be able to recognize that our life is going to have conflicts on the outside And it's going to have fear on the inside. And we must learn to navigate the waters with conflict and fear. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but there's things, there's natural fears. That's where our faith is needed, to combat our fears. Now, when you don't get into faith, the longer it takes you and I to journey into faith, watch what happens. Your body becomes weary. The longer it takes for you and I to step into faith, pressure on your vessel will tell. Your body will become weary, and guess what will happen when you become weary? You will become sick. Have you ever heard that phrase? I'm sick with worry. Yeah. Yeah. And when you become sick with worry, you begin to enter into anxiety, depression, all kinds of things, and your body goes into extreme overdrive. And depending how old you are, that can have serious, serious effects upon you and I. How many days are lost globally to stress? Millions. Wow. So the first thing you need to realize is that this body of mine is capable of suffering fatigue. It's only flesh and blood. So let me tell you something. Take care of your body. If you're not in good health because you've not taken care of your body, it won't take much trouble to put stress on your heart. If you don't take care of your body, stress and worry will take care of you. And it will put you in the grave. And you can tell me all day long, I've got a destiny. Yes, it's called the grave. If you don't take care of your body, you ain't got no destiny other than the grave. Your body is the vehicle God uses, and everything God's put is put inside a body. So if you don't take care, listen to me, church, if you're going to be around a bit longer, you need to watch. Shed some cargo. Round about here. Shed some cargo. Slim down. Trim down. Why? Because you need to be like this. Evenly distributed. There's a word we'll use for today. Evenly distributed. Take care of your body. Trouble is on its way. If it's not already found your address, if it's already visited your address. Trouble's like Santa Claus. He makes a visit every now and then and leaves gifts that I don't always want, didn't always want, and didn't always need, and don't want to use. Like socks and smelly deodorants and stuff like that nobody wants. Understand the difference between fitness and health. Understand the difference. You can be healthy for a period of time but not fit. But the longer you go without being fit, your health will be affected. You've got to take care of both those areas, fit and healthy. Fit and healthy doesn't mean how fast you can get to the biscuits. This body of mine, he says, was harassed. This body of mine could easily be harassed at every turn. As we've already seen, it creates stress and anxiousness and can lead to depression. This body of mine suffered conflicts on the outside. There are some conflicts you can't control on the outside. So therefore, you've got to control it on the inside. I can't control a lot of what goes on. In fact, I can't control anything that goes wrong, what goes on in you. Vice versa. But what I can control is how it affects me. How I approach God, how I approach you, how I approach myself. What do I do with all that? Do I just get so worried and so stressed and blah, blah, blah? No. I've got to be able to handle it on the inside. And it's not always easy. But like you, we've got to handle it. We've got to do it. And he's telling us here that there was conflicts on the outside and there was fears within. This is real. This is Paul. This is the apostle telling us. No, I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but I know fear can find its way to my door. So I have to deal with it. Why? Because fear threatens the buoyancy of my life. It threatens. How are you feeling today? Well, not so good. See, there you are. there's evidence that the waves are beating against your ship. Now, neither am I saying when it's at the height, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling wonderful. Everything's fine. Wonderful, wonderful. No, it's not. Be real to yourself. You say, well, right now the waves are pounding against the boat, but I'm keeping my head above water. Yes. Be real with yourself. Yeah? I hate salt water, do you? When you swim in the sea and you get a mouthful of seawater, oh, that's enough for me to say, don't do it again. Don't keep your head above water. A mouthful of salt. Ugh. This body of mine secretly suffers fears and anxiety. What am I supposed to do with that? I've got to find a way. I've got to find a way so that I can rise above. Now, at this point, guys, I can either just get a few good friends around me, but I'm going to go back to the darkness eventually. I'm going to go back to the darkness because it's going to be there. I've got to learn to deal with this on my own. I've got to learn to bring other people in. That's great. But there's going to be large portions of time when I'm on my own. And I've got to be able to deal with this, me and God together. And I have to deal with it as well. I have to deal with it. The things I've got to arrest the thoughts in my mind. I can't ask God to arrest the thoughts in my mind. He says, it's your mind. You've got to take control over it. Well, how do we do that? Well, there's principles. We've got to familiarize ourselves with the principles. You see, how many of you know when you go and buy eggs today, there's a sign that says free range? Right? But how many of you know there's a difference between free range and those eggs are free to range? Okay, let me put a negative thought inside Jane's mind and I say to her, it's a free range thought. Is it free to range? No. You've got to arrest it. That thought, it cannot be free to range anywhere it wants. Right? It's free range. It tells you it's healthy until it gets inside your mind and then you find out it's destructive. It cannot be free to range. Go where it wants. Do what it wants. At some point, you and I must get a grip of this and say, I'm not having this. Free range thoughts are destructive. And it's not always easy. And it is tiring. And it fatigues the body. And it causes fears within. I have been captured. I was that ship that was on its side. God took me to a dark place. Or I should say, God took me from a dark place. And you can never tell me what it's like to feel depressed. I've been there. I thought I was dying. And I had to fight my way out. And it was hard. And it was lonely. And it was hard. I'm not the only one. But I thought I was going. I kept saying to Phil, you better get ready to take the church. I'm going home. And he's looking at me going, crazy man. It's right, because I got so depressed. Wow. When that maniac is inside of you, boy, can it go through the whole house and destroys you. And God had to show me a way out. I said, God had to show me a way out. So when I stand here and give you some medicine, I'm telling you, I have tasted my own medicine in that area. In that area. But I want to tell you that every battle is winnable. Every battle is winnable. I want to give you hope this morning that every battle is winnable. Though you will wobble. Though you may lose cargo. Every battle is winnable. And many of you have stood here today and can turn around and say, I know that, Pastor, because I've gone through the dark valley and I've come out the other side and I won my battle. Your ship was almost going down, but God saw you. God saw you were struggling and came and saved you and rescued you. Right? And put your feet on solid ground. Now you know the principles, the lessons of how to avoid it. And you can see it coming from afar now. Where before it came and blindsided you, now you can see it. See, I know now, if I think a certain way, I know I go back to where I came from. So now I see the thought coming from a distance and I go, oh, now you're not having me. Now I've recognized you. I can smell you from a distance. It's like when you've been sick, a kid's had sickness, or you've had a heart attack. You know the early signs, and you can get the help quicker. True? We need to learn from our encounters. The battle within you and around you only becomes winnable. Note these things. Here's what I personally discovered about this battle and it being winnable. Here's the principle for coming through a winnable battle. The battle within you and around you only becomes winnable and therefore becomes dependent upon who and what you are willing to listen to. If I'm going to destroy John, I want John to believe and listen to everything that's negative and destructive. And John, the moment John inclines his ears to that frequency, I enter inside John. And then I become free to then I become free range. At some point, John's got to realize you're not the right one to listen to. You're not the voice I should be listening to. And at that point, John, depending how severe it's gone and how deep it's gone into John will struggle for a long time before he manages to get the battle under control and push the enemy out of his territory. But if he can see it early, he can save himself from a whole lot of trouble. Does that make sense? So depending on who John is going to listen to, it's going to determine whether he can stay free and avoid trouble or he allows trouble into his mind. And I suggest too many of you listen to the wrong things. Prevention is better than... Right. We're not wise in every area. But let's be wise in some areas where we weren't once captured. Let's prevent rather than just... always be captured and then get wise after the event. So the first thing is who and what we're willing to listen to. How many times do our children do not listen to the parents? Come on, we're all children. We've all been children. We've all ignored our parents. And did you get any trouble? Yes. And what did your parents say to you? I told you. And your pride says that's the one thing I didn't want to hear them say. But it's true. If we'd have listened to our parents, you know, one day, I climbed this building, must have been 200 feet in the air. And it was a factory down Ashnell Road. And my mother told me about going in that warehouse and playing. She told me and told me and told me, "Ah, Tony, if I find you in there," and she kept bringing down, you know, the fire and brimstone, "if I see you in there, I'll kill you. I'll kill you until you're dead." So one day, what did I do? I climbed 200 feet in the air in this old railway and its corrugated roof. We all know what happens with corrugated roof, don't we? I'm 200 feet in the air and I'm waving on the top as if I haven't got a care. "Hi, woo, mama." My mum looks up, she almost has an heart attack. Oh, the police are there. And we're all waving, everyone thinks, "This is a wonderful time, what's wrong with you?" And then I come downstairs. I finally come down. She battered me silly. I mean, she don't want me to die up there, but she wants to kill me down here. Only a mother can do that. It's not your right to kill you, it's my right to kill you. But there I am, 200 feet in the air. I'm telling you, 200 feet in the air. And I'm waving like there's nothing wrong. And she's going every shade. When I got down, she batters me. Now, I could have learned from that. I still carry the scars today. The battle within you and around you becomes winnable and it's dependent upon what is personally revealed to you. Now, a battle becomes winnable when God reveals things to us. Now, watch this. When things are revealed to us, it gives us perspective. It gives us scope. It gives us a different attitude. I find those people in the most trouble are the ones that need something revealing to them. They need a way. They need a truth. They need a principle. They need help. And until something's revealed to them, they can't begin to get themselves out of the trouble they're in. That's why people spend a lot of money and go and see a therapist. For somebody else's wisdom, to give them a perspective so they can now face the trouble. Something has to be revealed to you in the middle of your trouble. If something is not revealed, you will keep on fighting the battle the same way and you'll end up at the same place. Something has to be revealed. This is why we must walk in the light. Something has to be revealed to us. God, show me, reveal something to me. If you don't shed some light on my path, how can I take the next step? Because these feet of mine have walked into trouble. So I've got to find another direction to walk out of the trouble. So 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made light shine into our hearts." Watch. "To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And we have this in treasure, in earthen vessel." This knowledge, this perspective is put inside us. So we have to appeal to the God who is inside us to reveal something to us. But what we tend to do, we tend to go external for help. Now, sometimes you have to go external because depending on what the nature of the problem is. But if something's taking you captive, you need something on the inside to be revealed to you. And he says here, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine into our hearts." Why did he make it shine into our hearts? So that we would have light for perspective. Amen. "And this treasure is in jars of clay to show us that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." You know, if flesh and blood gets you in trouble, you might need the divine to get flesh and blood out of trouble. Okay? Now, so we've now got who and what you listen to. We've now got something that needs to be revealed. Let me take to point three. The battle within you and around you only becomes winnable depending on what you understand from what's revealed.
Yes. Yeah.
If you don't understand what's been revealed, you're still in the dark. Understanding. Let me put it to you this way. Search your Bible and find out how many times it talks about understanding. Now, let's just take Solomon for a second. Solomon, when you read Solomon's books, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, what else did he write? Did he write some of the Psalms? I think he did. But anyway, when you read Ecclesiastes, it sounds like he's a real negative fella. Does he not? Come on, stay with me for a second. When you read, some of you say, "I don't know, I've not read that." Is it in the Bible? I don't know, it was in the Bible. When you read Ecclesiastes, it sounds like he's really down, he's negative, everything's meaningless, I tried this, that's no good, tried this. Right. But then go to the book of Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs, he's a young boy. And what's his dad telling him? Listen! Get understanding. Though it costs you everything, get understanding, because it's going to be the one thing that's going to set you apart. What did he grab? Understanding. Now, let's go to Song of Solomon. Now he's young and rampant. Right? He's in his love relationship, and he's chasing, and he's using this language. Now, and he's trying to chase everything his eyes see. So you've got to see, when we read him in Proverbs, he's a young boy. When we see him in Song of Solomon, he's young, he's got passions. And when we see him in Ecclesiastes, he's an old man. And now he's saying that, "I tried all that when I was young." How many women did he have? Oi, oi, oi. 300, see, John's noticed. How many songs did he write? 1,005. And only had 6 published. I keep reminding Phil. I said, I've written about 50-odd songs. I think I've only got 6 decent ones, so I'm all right with Solomon. So the thing is depending what age you're at, depends how you see things. But he let go of understanding. His taste for women is what destroyed him. His taste for women. And then he got Bathsheba. Sorry, he got her, what's she called? It was she, wasn't it? No. Who? No, what's the one woman he got from her? Queen of Sheba. That's it. And it was Sheba. And then he began to abandon what he knew and listen to her. She became the gate, causing him, at this point one, who you listen to, what you listen to. He abandoned everything his dad told him because he liked the look of her. He let go of his understanding. So depending what age you're at, I know some of you now are at Ecclesiastes age. Oh, it's all meaningless. Try that, lads. Don't try. It's no good. And then you've got the young'uns over there chasing after everything they can see. Trying to put their hands on everything. It must be good because it's available. And then you've got the young'uns and you've got the parents saying, listen to your mum and dad. Are you getting this? Perspective. Understanding. And we tell the kids when they're young so that they won't let go of understanding. But we know they let go of understanding. So we've got to keep telling them until they get old and they say, you know what you told me, Mum? You were right. Yeah, but it took you so long to understand it. We could have saved you all that pain had you listened. Understanding. If you don't get understanding from what's being spoken here this morning, you've heard me speak, but you didn't understand what God was saying. Are you there? We're nearly there. The battle within you and around you becomes winnable. So we've seen it's what you're willing to listen to. We've seen it's about perspective. We've just seen about understanding from perspective. Must come an understanding so that the perspective now gives you a way out. Or it gives you a strategy. Then we see the battle is only within you is winnable and is dependent upon, watch this now, what you now personally take responsibility for. So I now give Joel a perspective he didn't have. He's got troubles on the outside, he's got fears within. We sit down, he starts listening to me, so he's embraced principle number one. He now goes into, he's got a perspective. Ah, yeah, see what you're saying. And then we talk a bit more, now he's got some understanding. Now I back away. The responsibility is his now to do something with it. That's the part that we as parents don't like. Leaving it to them to make their own choices.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't like that because we feel that we're frustrated. We want to bring him to the finishing line. But the job of a parent is to keep talking. The idea of a smart Christian is to keep talking, keep praying. Keep talking, keep praying, keep talking, keep praying. Keep being the model, keep being the demonstration. Show them the way. Sometimes you do it just by your example, not by your words. But you've got to do it because I don't care. You know, I'll never stop being a father. And he's married, he's got his own wife. They're well capable of making their own decisions. But I can't, there isn't a switch inside me that says I can't be a dad anymore. I know he's a grown man. But I'm chicken first, egg second. I'll always be a chicken, he'll always be the egg. Right? It's true. I can never stop being a father. It's just who I am. I've been doing it longer than I think. So, and I know sometimes I'll talk to Scott and I'll give him some wisdom and I'll say to Mum, through the ear. Elephant, pigs. Pink elephants flying. But guess what? You've got to keep talking because one day you'll get his attention. And then he, listen, this works both ways, by the way. Some day he's talking to me and it's like, Dad's not listening. Another day, if he keeps talking, eventually he'll get me one day and the elephant will land. It's true, isn't it? That's how you do it. That's how we do it. We keep talking. So we have to take responsibility. My responsibility is to talk to him. His responsibility is to either listen or ignore it. It's his choice. But I've got to take my responsibility. If I'm going to get out of trouble, I've got to take responsibility. If you're going to get out of trouble, you've got to take responsibility. Now, you might need help, so your responsibility is to go and get help. That's where responsibility starts. At whatever level of trouble you're in, there'll be some measure of responsibility you need to take hold of. It might be the listening. And lastly, the battle within you only becomes winnable and is dependent upon what you're willing to apply. And keep applying. So, let me say this to you. You know, as a pastor, I've had to help all different kinds of people in trouble, as you do. And let me come to a scripture. Last week I told you from John 16:33, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's John 16:33. Now the beginning of that scripture is important. He says, I have told you these things. Things have to be said in order for you to progress. Things have to be said. And I have told you these things. If he hadn't told them those things, they would never know the answer is in him. So we must keep, God must keep speaking things over and over to us so that finally we get perspective, we get understanding, and we apply what God is saying, and we keep applying what God is saying. That's called faith. When you keep applying what God is saying, that is faith. Though I don't have the evidence in front of me, I know this is the answer. I'm convinced that scripture... Now, I've had, like I say, many, many types of people with many, many different kinds of problems. And I am sick to death with people expecting me to put a plaster over their hurts. Pastor, can you give me a scripture? Can you give me a word from the Lord? Open your Bible, you've got loads of words. Right? In fact... There they are. Lord, speak to me. See this? Lord, speak to me. What does he give you? Right. You want God to speak to you? He's got his word. Open the Bible, he'll speak to you. God speaks to us through his word. But people have come to me and have said, you know, oh, Pastor, I need this help, I need that help, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you try and put the Band-Aid on him, and it doesn't work. Why? Because it's not attached to principles. It's not attached to anything. Now, if I shoot you, depending on how the bullet enters in, you might only have a small hole of entrance, but you'll have a massive hole with exit, right? Depending on how the bullet's ricocheted, I might stab you, but it might only be a small slit, but there's intense damage on the inside. So if we want to stop the blood flow, we can put a plaster on it. But the internal damage is there. Now, we've got to understand that when people are hurting, there's internal damage. But they come to us with a blood flow. We can see the blood flow, but there's an internal damage. So what we want to do, because nobody likes to see blood, we look for the plaster and we say, just put 2 Corinthians 4, 5:17 on it. Put Proverbs 21:16 on it. Oh, COVID's here. Psalm 91. You'll be fine, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. And put it on your fridge magnet every day. When you're making a cup of tea, look at it and go, Psalm 91. How many of you know the internal needs addressing? You know that, do you? Okay, glad now I've got your attention. Go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. I didn't plan on this, but it's come to my mind. Let me show you what it says in Hebrews 4. You've read this scripture many, many times. Because you've read it many, many times, you can read it again. Now, Lord, speak to me. Does God give you plasters? No. He gives you something that needs to be applied. And he gives you something that needs to keep on being applied. True? So, here's the strength of what he's offering you. Speak to me, he gives you the Bible. For the word of God is living and active. Okay? It's sharper than anything, watch, anything that's penetrated you. It's sharper than any trouble that's entered inside of you. Hello? Because if you see your trouble bigger than anything what God's offering you, then you've got the wrong perspective. And you're fighting from the wrong premise. You've either got to see that this is the living word and it's the antidote. Now, you will need additional help. Let me make that very, very clear. You will need additional help depending what is the nature of the trouble is. Right? But God's word will speak to you to give you hope that help is on the way. And if it's healing, it's healing. If it's principles you need, it's principles. I put to you that most of you need more principles than you need prayer. If you get principles in place, you'll understand your life will move a lot quicker when you adopt principles. Right. So it's living, it's active, and it's sharper. Now, what does it do? It divides the soul, which is a big area, and the joints. And marrow. In other words, it goes down to your DNA. God's word is able to recorrect your DNA. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now, I believe this word can do everything it says. Right. But me standing with this word, applying this word, watching this word does do what it says, takes faith, takes time. Text patience, text trouble, text hardships, text difficulties. But I've always got to believe this is the answer. But guess what? I may need to get some professional help as well. And I may need to walk alongside with professions. So, if I need an ulcer, if I've got an ulcer, right? And the doctor, and I go to the doctor and says, yeah, you got an ulcer, you got an hernia. Yeah, we've prescribed some surgery for you. Now, I can be reading, and God can supernaturally heal me, can he not?
Yes.
And I can say, Lord, I'd rather you heal me than me go under the surgeon's knife. Yeah. Right. But meanwhile, I still need the surgery. Yeah. So, I can still stand in faith walking into that surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing some of you need to realize. Some of you will die through sickness. Some of you will die through sickness. But will you die in faith? You'll die of sickness. Some of you may die of a sickness. But are you willing to die in sickness but still standing in faith?
Yes.
This is the challenge. Will you die in faith? The Old Testament saints all died, but they all died in faith. Right? You'll die. Let's get that. Unless he comes back again and takes us. If we die, we'll die of some failure of some kind. Shortage of breath is a classic one. Right? So we'll die of shortage of breath. But will I die in faith? Or will I die being so bitter because I've been sick and God didn't heal me? I'm going to die. I face that day. I'm going to die. It's done. I just don't know what day or how it's going to happen. But I have told myself I must die in faith. Whatever happens, no matter how ugly it gets, I must die in faith. I cannot abandon my faith at the end because I'm angry, because I'm dying, because I'm sick. I must die in faith. Some of you don't want to hear that, but that's true. So the word of God is sharper and it's a double-edged sword and it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And it judges me thoughts and me attitudes of the heart. And nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and everything's laid before him, of the eyes of him who we must give an account. This word is rock solid. But I know I'm still going to face problems. So therefore, I need perspective. I need truth. I need light. Because I'm going to have to navigate my way through some troubled waters. True? So, last scripture. We're gone. Romans 8. Despite whatever trouble you may face, let me give you some encouragement. I need a position to stand when I'm facing trouble. Faith is my position. Scripture is my material. I don't want band-aid plasters. They don't fix nothing. They never have. I need to rightly divide the word. I need to rightly apply the word. I need to get perspective. And when I'm praying to God, I need some clarity, not emotions. Okay? Romans says, who shall separate us? Who shall separate us? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What did he say? Shall trouble. Shall trouble separate us? Now, why is he asking the question? Because trouble is the thing that normally separates us and causes us to abandon ship. Trouble is the one thing that causes us to abandon ship and capsize, and we become like that captain. But he says here, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship? So when Paul says, when we came into Macedonia, we had conflicts on the outside and we had fears within, there was trouble, but it did not separate them. So there's a way through it and around it and over it and under it. Because if trouble defeats us every time, we wouldn't even have a faith. So, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's why every battle is winnable. It all depends where you stand, what your perspective is. There's days when I feel hard pressed. But that's not the end of the story. Yeah? So I look at your face today, say, how are you doing? Not so good. Right, it's today. It's okay, you can be miserable for today. But we've got to find a way out. We've got to find a way out. It's okay to be hard pressed. It's okay to be shaken. It's okay. Tell yourself it's okay. Just don't let it become prolonged. There's some days and I don't feel I want to talk to you lot. And you know what? There's more days you don't want to listen to me. We are more than conquerors. We're not conquerors who are easily overcome. We're conquerors who overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, by the testimony. Amen? So, I said that was the last scripture. I've got loads more, but I said it. I've given my word now. So I have to hold on to it. So let's stand to our feet. Lord, speak to me. That's what he says. Are you willing to receive this word? Because I know of no other. I know of nothing else that can change and heal you and restore you and challenge you and bless you like this word. Because we're not offering you a book, by the way, we're offering you God. The word of God and the God of the word is the same person, they're inseparable, right? So the thing is speak to me, Lord. This is where we need to stand. So come on, open up your hearts. Many of you are facing trouble. Many of you are facing trouble and you need those five principles. Who you're going to listen to, what you're going to listen to, what light, what perspective, are you going to take responsibility, are you going to keep applying it, keep applying the truth. These are processes to get you out of trouble and keep you out of trouble, because then your trouble will change and it'll be a different trouble, but these principles still stay the same. Your troubles change from month to month, from year to year. One thing that doesn't change is trouble still comes. But how we get out of trouble and face trouble and triumph over trouble is why we need principles. And this is why God gives us his word, because he's an anchor in the storm. And he says, hold on to me, Eli, because this thing, you know, I'm God and I can calm the storm within you. But I've got to teach you some things. I've got to mold you, because trouble is actually usable for me in your life. I can use your trouble to build you. So I can make the vessel. I need to make the man and the woman. And trouble, I'll use trouble and we'll walk through it together. But you've got to hold on to me. Don't let go of me. So Father, I pray, Father, this morning for those who are walking through a troubled time. And I pray, Father, Lord, for the light of your word to be shone on their path. And I pray, oh God, that they will pick it up and begin to invite you into their situation. They will get hold of this message. They'll begin to take the principles and they begin to work it through with you. And if they need additional help, they need a consultant, they need a doctor, Father, whatever it is, a bank manager, whatever it is, Father, I pray, oh God, that whatever they need, Lord, that you're with them and you will walk them through it wherever, whatever trouble they're in. You don't just help us in spiritual trouble, Lord. You help us in all trouble. And Father, I pray, oh God, that we would arrest the lies and the deceit of the enemy that has already spoken and the fears that's within. Father, I pray that you would give us the word, the light to push the enemy out of our territory. And we can walk with confidence. Walk with light. Walk with confidence, Father. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.